Following Dr. Henderson's comments, I asked Dr. Huttis to comment on another ASCO paper based on the CALGB experience by Dr. Hai Muss, evaluating the risks and benefits of adjuvant chemotherapy in older patients.
What Hai did is he went back through the same CALGB data set and identified the relative benefits of the chemotherapy regimens, not with regard to ER status, but just with regard to age. And basically, the take-home point is that patients who were able to go on these trials were just as likely to benefit from chemotherapy decisions as were younger patients, that is, older patients who went on the studies. And I don't think you can say much more than that, but there is obviously a tremendous series of issues there. Firstly, our enrollment of patients in the older age groups is really very low. I think only 12% of the patients on 9741 were above age 60. And that same kind of proportion holds for the other studies as well. So our experience in the randomized setting for the patients in the older age groups is really not so great. I can tell you that within Memorial, Arte Heria has looked at this in non-randomized studies and sees, I think, what you'd predict, which is that when the docs get more aggressive and permissive with regard to the use of the regimens, the toxicities actually go up. We do have experience of significantly more neutropenic fever and complications in the older patients and intolerance for therapy in these non-randomized retrospective looks than we report in the prospective studies.
Bill?
And the other piece that you alluded to in Hai Muss's paper was the treatment-related morbidity, which it's clear the benefit is equivalent, the morbidity is higher. And the take-home point, because I wrote the editorial of that paper, was that you have to, as we all do, balance efficacy against morbidity, which is probably even a more acute issue in older patients. And there are a variety of tools that one can implement and utilize to figure out whether a patient's going to tolerate it or not. But at the end of the day, it's a gestalt. In our own sense, in my own personal sense, is patients, if they're in pretty good shape, tolerate dose-dense therapy probably as well as other things you might choose. And, you know, there are efforts. One such effort was a CLGB study looking at Xeloda single-agent arm for such patients. And it might be arguable whether dose-dense therapy is probably a friendlier approach, perhaps, than some of the patients who've experienced Xeloda as a single agent. My own view is that you have to get a sense whether the patient will tolerate therapy, number one, and if so, and if you think they will, then use what you think is best.
Rowan?
Yeah, one of the other issues when we talk about elderly is it seems like this cutoff of 65 that we commonly use seems to be pretty low. And when I talk to oncologists in my own practice, it seems like before I start to click in as to make an adjustment, it's probably like 75, especially if somebody doesn't have comorbidities. And so I think some of the data that's being generated, I think many of us would impute that we could give it to a healthy 68-year-old without much difficulty. And it's just a question, as we get higher, how does this balance out?
Chuck?
Follow up on what Bill said in terms of the B38 toxicity we're seeing. I do think that doctors are out there with a bias that not all patients are up for TAC. And so B38 reflects how patients who are deemed candidates for TAC do with TAC versus dose dense. So I think us saying that we're not seeing a difference there shouldn't be used to extrapolate, well, maybe I can push TAC in older patients, that different population.